got some things I thought here that the Lord laid upon my heart that maybe help you out. I don't know if you all get this Voice of the Martyrs magazine. I kind of, you know what, those always like, I like reading things, missionaries, because you get a real good picture of what's going on. And this is a guy named Rollo, and he's down there in Central America, and he's one of those guerrilla guys, ex-guerrilla guys. Someone gave him the gospel, got saved, became a pastor, and he brings Bibles to places around in that area there. I mean, you know what though? They're bringing and distributing the Word of God. I mean, and they're in remote areas. I mean, he risked his life going down, a bunch of men giving the scripture out, and people are real reluctant because a lot of people here, they're growing cocaine. They're farmers. I mean, what they're doing is these farmers are literally hired, working like dogs, grow cocaine, you know, living like, you know, kind of, you know, almost in poverty. But you know what, though? The drug lords use that, and they're real leery, but he's dropping Bibles to folks, trying to get them saved. So the Word of God is still going forth. Sometimes we lose track of that. Some folks in these little jungles by rivers, walking by hand, motorcycle, roads, you know, ah, people like that. That's, remember them, pray for them. Rollo here, giving out scripture. So risking his life for the Word of God. Amen. That's just, you got to remember that. Sometimes we get in our own little, you know what, though? They may ain't got the doctrine. Sometimes you have it so good, you forget about it. You know that? You don't remember, hey, we got air conditioning here. I mean, had breakfast if you wanted to have an option. We got the Word of God. We know doctrine. Hey, remember that. Sometimes you forget when you get real good after, you know. So remember that. So some people just trying to get the Word of God out here. So I thought I'd mention that. Always good to read that. The name of my Bible study for the next couple weeks, if I get through it, it's called Stung by Bees. Stung by Bees. Now you'll see where I get into that, how I made, why I called this message here. And when I was about 13, 14 years old, I was playing around some field. There was an old tractor there. And I don't know if we're throwing rocks at it or doing something. All of a sudden, a swarm of bees come out, like you see in the cartoon, you know? I go, hey, man, bees. And I took off running, and all of a sudden, I was stung by bees. And I don't know if you've ever been stung by a bee or a wasp, but you probably remember it, right? You probably remember a time? I got stung 7 times in the back, behind, and leg. I remember that. Some things you don't forget in life, and it's something you never forget. It's like whether you get bit by a snake or a dog or, you know, hey, that's pretty traumatized. I got stung 7 times by bees. And so this is a great message. It's kind of titled a little bit here called Stung by Bees. And it hurt. And I remembered. And the reason why I say this, because a lot of times when you hear a Bible study or a sermon or things like this, you know what though? Sometimes it's tied to something, you'll remember it more. An Ackerman, you know? I mean, so I'm trying to tie in something that you can remember. And the Lord goes, I remember these things. So remember Stung by Bees. And we'll get to that in a little bit here today and, Lord willing, next week. Now, before I do, I want to build a little foundation. I want to talk to you about the word understanding. The word understanding. The first mention of the word understanding is found in Exodus 31:3, 31:3, 4, and 5. And that was when they were building the tabernacle. And it says, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge in all manner of workmanship. Now, here's the application of it. I believe an application there to devise cunning works, to work in gold and silver and brass and in cutting of stones, to set them and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. This is kind of the application of knowledge, understanding, wisdom. They're all a little different, but it's very important to get it. Now, let me give you an example. You can have a lot of knowledge of things. A lot of people have a lot of knowledge of things, But it doesn't really do any good if you have knowledge without the application, understanding how that works. So there's some people I know that got a lot of knowledge, but I didn't want it. That's a kind of a sad thing. So let me take an example like somebody maybe who's a plumber. He has knowledge of all the tools that he has. The wisdom is understanding how each one of those tools would work, right? And the understanding is, well, now I have a job to do, how I use these tools, how they work to solve the situation. That's kind of what happened here when they built a tabernacle. Here's a bunch of gold, silver, stone, and a bunch of tools. What good is it if you know how to apply it? Now, Brother Hoffman's, they're farmers. I guarantee you, you know, all the tools they have, I ask him about things. He understands what to use to plow the ground up and put seeds on. You understand how to use it. That's understanding. And a lot of times in Scripture, it's very important you want to have the understanding of the principles, the doctrines, so you can apply them to your life. Because you know what, though? Then you get a finished result. Amen? So without a finished result, what good is having all this knowledge if you don't use it for anything? Or it's not changing you from the inside out, okay? So remember, stung by bees. I'll get to that in a minute here. Look at Job here. It says, Job 12:13. With the ancient of wisdom and length of days of understanding. Ignore that. With him is wisdom and strength. He had counsel and understanding. This is why folks who've been around for a long time doing craft have experience. A lot of times you hire somebody, well, how long have you been doing it? You have to make sure you've been around for a while, you know, 20, 30 years. When I had my back surgery, I'll never forget, Dan Harrison, when I fell off a tree stand, and I ruptured my back. I asked him, how many have you done? 2,500 back surgery. That's pretty good. If he said two or three, I wouldn't have used them. See, there's a length of time, right? Understand. See, if you want someone to have some time in some of this, I mean, some experience in some of these things, you know? And that's how you learn. When I first was saved, I went to a church, Belmont Bible Church. My pastor there was Charles Dinwiddie. And I guess back then he always knew I had a real desire for the word and showing up doing things. So he took me soul winning on Thursday. I went every Thursday for five, I think it was two Thursdays out of 5 years. I was as green as they can be. But you know what though? He was already in his 70s there, ministering for many years, and that I learned some things from him. You know, it's the kind of the bedside manner of things and the wisdom and length time of doing that really kind of helped me out. And I remember he always would say, let's just make one more call. One more call. And I asked him, I go, well, Pastor Dinwiddie, why would you do that? He goes, well, when he was a young lad, remember back in the old days when you go to the hospital, now you can go anytime you want, they'd have a speaker would say, visiting hours are out at 8 o'clock. Some of the older folks, you can only visit certain hours because they want you to rest. You're there in the hospital to rest, right? And he was visiting folks in there, and the ready-made visiting calls almost done, but he had another guy who wanted to visit in the hospital. And he goes, well, I better visit this guy, you know, because, I mean, hey, I'm making a call. And he went into the hospital, and there was a guy there, oh, Pastor Dinwiddie, I'm so glad you're here. You know, hey, I was just thinking about all things I knew from somewhere, and, you know, I do need to be saved. And he goes, wow, really? And he was just ready because he's in the hospital, you know, you're looking up, thinking of things, and he trusted the Lord. And he goes, this is great, wonderful. Well, I'll come back tomorrow. I got things in the morning about 10 or 11, 10 or 11 o'clock, and I'll bring you a Bible. We'll get some foundation. Yeah, great, great. So goes home and comes out the next day in the hospital. You know what? Goes to the hospital. The bed's empty. And he's asking around. That guy died at about 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, hey, talk about getting saved by the skin of your nose thing. And what they did? The Lord might have saved that guy a long time. That motivated Dinwiddie. He goes, I always make, you talk about, just imagine a guy goes to bed that night, wakes up, he's in glory. Hey, man, that's kind of nice. Now, I know kind of later in life, but that's not a bad deal. Go to bed and wake up in glory. You know that? And he's like, and he always goes, he always, with me, years later, let's make one more. That's just his experience and just learn some things. The point being is he had understanding, taught me how to deal with people. I remember one time I had a lady come in, and she's kind of a little heavier lady. I go, oh, are you expecting? No. I take the shoe out of my mouth, whatever, you know what I mean, you know? And, you know, I'm like, don't never ask a lady if she's expecting whatever, you know what I mean? I'll tell you, or you know, if you go to the hospital, you'd say, never ask a lady why she's in the hospital. Never, you know what I mean? Or if a husband, if two people come in, a man and woman, never assume it's the spouse. Who is that? I mean, things, just little things of wisdom that I've learned to help you minister. This is all part of some serious things I'm going to get into, but very important to understand some of these things. Somebody that has knowledge, experience in ministering, it's good to get under them a little bit, you know? So that's what Job's talking about here, about the ancient of wisdom and length of days of understanding these things, you know? Now, Psalm 119, 44, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. It says, give me understanding and I shall live. That's very important, to have wisdom from the scriptures and knowledge, but the understanding is very key. Psalms 147:5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Ask the Lord for understanding. Now, if you notice when Pastor Hoffman prays, he always asks, Lord, give us understanding. You know why? Because he's got some knowledge and he understands that it works. Ask the Lord. When you approach a scripture, you know, hey, Lord, you know what though? Give me something today. Ask the Lord to give. Sometimes you're tired or had a bad week. Ask the Lord to give you something. You know what though? You know what? He just might do that. That's something, hey, here's a guy, meet with me today, I'm going to give him something. You know, I'm going to tell you a little story here. I mean, I got a lot of them, but I'm getting the point. I remember going on a cruise with my wife, me and my kids, and I wanted from a company. I don't even remember where we're at. And they're having a lot of fun, and they're young, but I wanted to get a time alone with the Lord. So I brought my Bible, and I remember I was sitting by this place, and there was blue skies. It was cool. I got a cup of coffee. I'm drinking coffee. I said, Lord, I want you to give me something here from today. I really wanted, you know, sometimes, though, to hear from the Lord, to meet with you. Get that, you know, understand. God, give me something today. I really want to hear from you today. I mean, ask the Lord. And as I was praying to myself on that, you know, I go, I put praying. I go, oh, I never a cup of coffee. You know, it's free in the ship. I'm going to get a cup of coffee, you know. So but before I did that, I hear behind me a man, and he's saying, oh, God, thank you, oh, Lord, for this trip and my wife. And he's really praying for eat, and he's real loud about it. Like, you know, Lord, you know. And he's really just vocal about praying. And I go, oh, this guy behind me, you know, I want to hear him finish praying. I want to serve him. So I got up, I turned around, and there was a guy in a wheelchair, completely quadriplegic. And his wife was feeding him. And I kind of was taken back as I kind of walked past him. I got a coffee, and I go, oh, I'll talk to this guy, you know. His name is Andy. I go, Andy, how you doing, young lad? And he goes, oh, I'm doing great, you know. And so I'm talking to him. He's a believer, obviously. And I found out that at age 18, he was surfing out on the East Coast somewhere. And when he came in off the shore, the wave hit him on the shore, and he broke his neck. And he woke up at 18. And when he woke up in the hospital, doctor says, you're quadriplegic at 18 years old, prime of your life. He got saved younger. Maybe he told me I'd save younger. And he sat there for all the day. You know what he said? Oh, he said, Lord, help me. I just said, why me, pity? Oh, help, Lord, help me. And over that time, he had to drive his wheelchair by his little mouth, little stick in his mouth. He met this wife who knew he was quadriplegic, a beautiful wife, and married her. And why? She saw the love of the Lord in a man. I mentioned that, young people. And you know what, though? He got a job, and he won a trip. How he had a child, I don't know. Okay? But he had a hat on, a little five-year-old kid. And you know what? I remember that. What that Lord showed me there, I told that story 100 times. The Lord says, what I have for you is not here today. It's right here next to you. And the Lord showed me that. That guy, kid, 18 years old, can break his neck and have a testimony for the Lord. He touched me that day and still has this day. So sometimes the Lord will give you something in a way that you never expected. Through some scripture, someone telling you something, whatever, and you apply this knowledge and wisdom you have to understand, and you go, ah. And then what do? You grow a little bit more. It's about growing, right? You got to grow, okay? All right, Proverbs 1:12, 1-5. Very important, very familiar part of scripture. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, and that's defined by justice and judgment and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. There you go. You see that, folks? You know what? We go to a Bible-believing church here, and you know what, though? Sometimes, oh, we know the 7 baptisms, and we know the 7 mysteries, and we know the gap, and we know the flood out beside Genesis area, and we know all these things, and that's fine and dandy, but you know what though? Sometimes we need the Lord speaking to us indirectly on those things. A lot of times, oh, we go here because we have all these things we want to hear. These things don't hurt anywhere else. But those are fine and dandy. We should know those things. But the thing is the application and the Lord working in and through you. Having all that knowledge stuff is fine and dandy. But if it's not being used and want to use it, it's just really not any good. Now, a side note. Notice right here in this verse, they use that word equity. That's a media word today, you know, equity. You know, it's not stocks and bonds. You know, let me tell you what equity is. It's defined right here. The scripture defines the words, and the news media has always tried to use other words for the Bible words. You know that, right? You know? So equity, here's Bible equity. It means equal, even, level, justice, right. In practice, equity is the impartial distribution of justice or the going that of another of doing that to another which the laws of God and man and of reason give him a right to claim. It is treating of a person according to justice and reason. Here it says in Psalm 98:8, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, with righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Found there in Psalm. See, that's an important side note, because why? I'm hearing that word a lot. What the news media says is, that person didn't get what they need. We determined to give them there. It's kind of communism, you know? You know, I mean, that what equity is? God doing right and judging right. Now, hey, a lot of times you get aggravated. Justice doesn't seem to be carried out. We got, Bill Cosby thing, you know? I mean, he gets off. You know what, though? Not denying what happened, because some loophole. Well, we agreed so many years ago with you. Wait a minute here. How about the victims? You know what Dr. Ruckman always say? He said, it makes sense. Don't worry about him. He's coming up. You get it? He's coming up. We're all coming up. They're coming up. You know what I'm saying? From, you know where? The pit. Coming up. And equity will be distributed properly at that point, right? Right? So don't worry about that. Don't worry about it. He's coming up. Or she's coming up, and real equity, justice will be proclaimed, and that's the Lord's deal, you know? And you know what, though? If you're like me, some people get you aggravated, amen? And like you maybe want to see them fry a little bit. But honestly, I don't want to see someone fry forever. I mean, you like to get it to them. Honestly, yeah, I'll give it. But you know what, though? Think about it. Hey, man, I don't want anyone. But that's what's going to really could happen, and will happen. You know, that's something. You know, that's a fine line. We'll get them, but you don't get them too long. I almost let's say this. I wish the Jehovah's Witnesses were true at one point. Now, they're not. They believe in annihilation. I wish the Bible said that. You know why? They'll fry for a little bit and annihilate. That's not Bible, by the way. But, you know what I mean? That'd be, in a way, I don't want to see someone, even people, worst enemy, fry forever. They use annihilation. It's wrong doctrine. But you know what? I wish they're right there. I know they're not, but I'm just, you know what I'm saying, right? It's a tough thing. Okay. It's all about defining the words. I'm getting to stung by bees. This is my foundation, okay? Real important, okay? Now, the entrance of the words give it light. That's right there. Right there, the word of God. It giveth understanding to the simple. Now, what does all this have to do with being stung by bees? Well, I'm going to start right now. That's the foundation. Oh, here it is. So, the bees, it's B-E. B-E's, get it? B-E's. So we're going to look at some B-E's from the scripture and look how to apply them. I got a bunch of them here. I don't know how far I'll get through today or next week. But some ones I thought the Lord would lay on my heart so we can B-E, committed and be stung, remembered some of these things. And the first mention of B-E, actually, is found in Genesis 9:7. This is obviously it's a God talking to Noah and says, and B-E. Fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. Now, action and application of what God set wants, he wants us to be fruitful. Now, I understand the context was talking here to Noah, and God blessed Noah and his children and said unto him, but be ye fruitful and multiply. This is a spiritual thing for us. God wants us to be fruitful. Amen? I mean, be ye fruitful and multiply abundantly. In verse, if I don't want to read the verse, all 17 verses, if you can, it's worth reading. But in Genesis 9, 1 to 17, it's talking. Moses talking to Noah and his children says, be ye fruitful and multiply. And it says here, and God said, this is a token of a covenant, not a covenant between them two, which I make between me and you and every living creature. So obviously, we're going to be living up here soon, that is with you for perpetual generations. So now it's talking for in the future. We're part of those generations. Amen. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. So there we are. So you know what happens? We all see rainbows. You always remember of God's dealing with the world back then. It's kind of a picture of judgment in a way. Think about that. I mean, the rainbow means God destroyed the entire world. People forget about that. And this saved six people. That's a pretty catastrophic event. Even look around the world, so you can see the flood all over the world with the all things going on. I mean, how did that happen? It's a quick event that happened over a short period, not millions and millions and millions of years. And I should remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become flood destroy you. And a bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of flesh that's upon the earth. So there, that's a picture of us. I mean, we're not known anymore, but that thing, be fruitful. And God said to Noah, this is the token of covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that's upon the earth. So now we look back at that. People forget about those things, you know? And what's interesting is I kind of looked up, the rainbow here, you know? There's seven colors in the rainbow. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. And obviously they want you to remember these rainbows. God put it there as a remembrance to what happened. And when I remember that thing, what is it, what I think of? Be fruitful. I mean, in the Lord, obviously, and not obviously they were they want to be fruitful, they should replenish the earth. But we should replenish believers, other believers, right? Other believers. And what's interesting is, this is a secular here, you know, prep schooler. But what's interesting is, on the back page here, what do they have? They have the queer umbrella. Now, what's interesting is, make notice here, they have six colors, God has seven. See how the devil does that? See, God didn't want his rainbow, so it's these people here. They left a number out, six, number of man, right? You know, and I like that, you know? So don't associate the queer rainbow with God's rainbow. You see that there, you know? And when I see that there, I go, that's not God's rainbow. Oh, no, it's not. They leave that word indigo out. You know, I don't know, maybe there's a meaning there. I looked at that and found the Bible. But you know what, though? I'm like that. There's always God's rainbow and the queer rainbow. It's so close, but, what's it associated today? Gay pride. Ain't that something? See, be fruitful. I remember what happened here, you know? See how they're trying to give you things, they're trying to brainwash the world, and even believers. You know, a lot of times they think rainbow, even believers, oh, it's gay pride. No, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the real rainbow, you know? So always something, a side note, it has to do with covenants and judgments and us. You know, us be fruitful. Okay, that's 1BE. Okay, Joshua 23:6. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that he turned not aside from the right or left hand. So there you are. Be ye courageous. See that? And to do and to keep what's written in, obviously talking to the book of Moses back then, the first Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and around. But now we got the whole book. So, hey, be courageous. You know, be courageous. Courageous is a brave, bold, daring, a hard encounter, difficulties, danger, adventurous, enterprising. And right in the back of the bulletin, funny thing today, Pastor Hoffman wrote about one of the founders, somebody went through, lost everything. Family, children, you know, our signers. People forget where we come from. Remember, you know? Don't forget where you come from, folks. Very important. Heritage we have. Today, in our church age, by not doing this, being courageous, the world is kind of taking over us. Right? The world, even the believers, you know, we're kind of being taken over by some of these things. So that's why we need to be courageous, be very courageous, and to keep and to do all that's written. So be, right? Remember, this stung, try to remember it. That's why, you know, I got to be courageous. I got to be fruitful. You know, try to remember some of these things, you know? I'm going to cover one more for time we have. Luke 6:36. It says, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. This was before the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was telling people, I mean, think about that. He was shown mercy back then in generations. Now he's dealing with what? Individuals. Amen? Mercy. Having or exercising mercy, compassionate, tender, disposed of pity, offenders and not forgiving their offenses, unwilling to punish for iniquities. It says there in Jude 22, and some having compassion, making a difference. That's Jude 22. And some having, your compassion will send you into action. Mercy will send you into action. That's the application. Get that, folks? I mean, the word doesn't mean nothing unless it's applied through your life. And how you know it's applied? What the Lord did to us. The mercifulness, you know, it says here, Ephesians 2:5, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are ye saved, right? And remember Paul writing to the letters? He wrote to Timothy, he said, grace, mercy, and peace, Paul, right? Grace, mercy. As he wrote letters, you want that? The first thing he does is he remembers attributes that were laid upon us. Amen? You get that, folks? That's B-E. You know what, though? We got to have that. Sometimes we're so militant on some things. You know, you forget about the attributes of compassion. Be merciful. All those things. It says here in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that ye may obtain what? Mercy. You see that there? You know, mercy. The experience, understanding that, you know. And find grace and help in time of need. You can name the many, many times the Lord has had merciful to you. He had to me. Oh, man, the Lord. You know what, though? I remember that. Write them down. Amen? You know, if you want to Google something interesting, and I'll close this here. On YouTube, Google a gal named Amber Geyer. She's a female police officer. Let me give you a little story. And if this doesn't bring a tear to your heart, your wood is wet. This is a female police officer who, single lady, she came into her apartment. She went to the wrong apartment. I think she went to the apartment below her at 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 4:30. She walked in, and there was a black man there. And it wasn't her apartment. It was his apartment. And she got, just pulled her gun out, blew the guy away. Killed him. And you know, now the news media likes this kind of stuff, you know. You know, white woman, white cop kills black man, you know. And they were geared to riot and all this stuff. Well, that guy was a believer. And if you Google this thing, you watch and find out what real mercy is applied. She you know, they had her. She was, you know, having an affair with someone, a police officer, and talking about things on the phone that weren't appropriate. Her mind was probably not there, you know. And at that point, she walks in. And just shoot a guy in his own apartment. Doors open. After she was tried, going to jail for 10 years, right outside, about an 18 or 19-year-old brother, well-dressed, sitting there and goes, hey, you know how you say something when you're done? Hey, let me tell you. My brother was a believer. And you know what? He would forgive you. And if you would have came in, he probably had ice cream with you. You know? And you know what, though? What he was wrong, but I forgive you. And here's a guy, lost his big brother, man. And he's as an 18, 19-year-old kid. And I forgive you. Matter of fact, you know why? I would want the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given a good testimony. And you need to be given for, if you sincerely ask the Lord, he'll forgive you. And I tell you something, man. He's given, here's a guy, lost his brother, big brother, killed wrong. And she kind of, you know, kind of trying to fence up a little bit. The judge is crying. This is a lady judge. Let's go to watch this here. And he goes, ma'am, I know the judge, is it probably appropriate? Can I give her a hug? I don't recommend hugging a woman. I ain't for that, whatever, you know, so don't. But you know what, though? The Lord let him do that, I guess, whatever. But she was touched. She wouldn't let him go. And the police officer is there going there because, you know why? Maybe it's a setup because maybe he's going to kill her or had a knife, whatever, you know. Maybe it's a setup, whatever. He's right there. She wouldn't let him go of him. And the judge was so taken back, she's a believer too, she went and got him a big Bible, her Bible. And here, she's leaving the court, just being, saw some real mercy for a change, folks. This guy here, leaving the court, holds a big Bible, 10 years prison. You know what that is? That's stung by being merciful, get that? That's a picture, see that there, you know? Hey, how about someone killed your big brother? Kind of. She did it wrong, pulled the gun too fast, not in her apartment. He wouldn't be threatened at all. Hey, God was merciful to me. And now here, I don't know how many million times it was shown, I have a chance to be merciful to others and point to Jesus Christ, what he did for me. I'll tell you something, man. Even the court reporters watch it. We've been in court for all these years. We've never seen nothing like this before. And you know what the crowd out did? They dispersed. They couldn't rumble and ramble. You know why? They saw a real mercy on there, folks. You see that there? Be merciful. Stung by mercy. See, get stung by, you know, remember these things, what the Lord has done in the scripture and what he's done for you. That's where the application of this is. You get that, folks? Okay. Questions, comments on anything? Yes, Marianne. Right. And that's another name for equity. The biblical term equity is fair justice. It's fair justice, and it's found in and you can have equity in stock too. You have stock is called equity. Yeah. You know, stock. You have equity in your home. It could be a substance, but the context here is equities, and God is even judgment. That's his job. We all know that, right? He's going to be judging these folks, you know. So that's the attribute of God. So good question. Okay. All right. Father in heaven, thank you very much for an opportunity just to open up your word and be stung by these BEs, Father, that we all need to apply to our lives. You know what, though? Just to be a closer walk with thee and understand your attributes and your compassion and your mercy and truths, Father. And then so others can see it would be like you, Father. So we'll cover that more next week. But thank you for an opportunity. Pray, Father, if you need to deal with someone on something, amen. Some of these things, you know, have at it, Father. We look forward to Brother Hoffman coming and opening up the Word of God and giving us some truth from it, Father. May we be open to receive your word here today, Father. And we ask this in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.